Hamid Rashad, QC, is proud to welcome Rabbi Menachem Leibtag with us to share words of Torah for the Navi section of Hamid Rashad on the topic of David HaMelech and building the Beit HaMikdash. We're honored to have you, and we look forward to hearing words of Torah from you.
As part of Sefer Shmuel.
Shmuel Bet,
Prakim Heita. Well, that's what they're up to.
Great.
Okay. Ask any normal Jew who went through the school system, ask him the question, why David couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash? What's the standard answer you always hear?
Yeah.
Who heard that answer before? Everybody? Do you remember when you learned that the first time?
Yeah.
I think most people, they knew it when they were born. It's like something that everybody knows. Like Moshe hit the rock instead of talking to it. There's certain things everyone knows from a young age, that David couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash because he had too much blood on his hands. Correct? Didn't everyone hear that before?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you learned it the first time you learned that? It's hard to pinpoint, right? But you sort of knew it ever since you can remember. I'm not sure why, but everyone seems to know that. Now, if that's true, what book should that story be in? What book do we have that talks about the life of David HaMelech? Which book? We can still... Sefer Shmuel, no?
Yeah, that's
a scene. Okay, I'm sorry, just gonna speak a little louder. Old age, I can't hear so well. Now, you guys are learning Sefer Shmuel, and we're gonna learn the story of David wanting to build the Beit HaMikdash. Did you get that far yet? Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin? You didn't get there yet. You did Perek Hey? But in Perek Hey, Shmuel becomes king. I mean, David becomes king over all of Israel. Basically, up until Perek Hey, in Sefer Shmuel Bet, there's a rivalry between David and Shaul. Ever since Shaul became king, and David became his harp player and an assistant arms bearer, there was a rivalry, and that's not resolved until Shmuel Bet Perek Hey. Shmuel Bet Perek Hey, Shaul dies, and Shaul died way back before, but Ishbosheth dies, Yoav is killed, and there's no one else left to take over, and everyone decides David's going to become king. That part you remember. The first thing David does, he moves his capital from Hebron to Yerushalayim, and he tries to unite the nation. What I want to begin with is if you have how many of you have Tanachim? Most of you, okay. Yeah. So open up Divrei Yamim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, which is a parallel story. Divrei Yamim Aleph.
That's the first three lines. Plus. Take a look. What's it say here?
Who wants to read? Two, three lines? Who can read loud and clear? Guys are so quiet today. Yeah, read, okay. Vayivatz, yeah, from there.
Vayivatz David im sarei alafim v'hadikul v'chol ragiv v'yomei David v'chol kahal Yisrael im alechem tov v'mir Hashem l'afir v'chitza v'shalcha alam k'edin v'sharim v'chol ha'atzom Yisrael v'nehem ha'klanim v'haladiyim v'harei.
Now listen carefully to Pasuk Gimel. Let's gather the whole nation together. If this is basic, if everyone agrees, if the leadership agrees, if God likes this idea, then let's say with Aron Eloheinu Eleinu, let's bring the Aron to us. Why? Ki lo dorashnuhu b'mei Shaul. Is that clear? What's he saying? During the reign of Shaul, and when Shaul was running the country, no one cared about it. There's a new administration, we're going to change policy. Shaul was a king, a strong king, built up the army, helped the people of Israel very well. He had this rivalry with David. But David establishes his government and everyone accepts him. He says, I'm going to change policy, and in my kingdom I'm going to make a big deal about the Beit HaMikdash. But he's saying during Shaul's reign we didn't care about it. Now, where is the Mishkan been ever since? Where's the Aron been ever since Shiloh was destroyed? Remember? Everyone knows Shiloh was destroyed and the Aron was taken. You learned that for sure. That was in Shmuel Aleph. Where did the Aron go to? It went to the Plishtim. And then what happened? The Plishtim brought it back. It was a pain for them. It wasn't... It didn't help them. They returned it to Beit Shemesh. You learned that story, didn't you? You learned Sefer Shmuel? And the people of Beit Shemesh messed up with it also. And then they brought it to Kiryat Yearim. And they guarded it there. In the meantime, they rebuilt the Mishkan in Nofer HaKohanim. But what happened to Nofer HaKohanim? Yeah, Shaul got, basically finished that city off. And then they moved the Mishkan to Givon. But ever since Shiloh was destroyed and Ben-Eli were killed, the Aron and the Mishkan have been separated. And they never got back together again. The Aron is in Kiryat Yearim, and the Mishkan is in Shiloh, is the Mishkan is in Givon. And they don't come together again. Now, it could be they weren't supposed to. I think what happened was the people in Kiryat Yearim with the Aron said the Mishkan should come to us. And the people with the Mishkan in Givon said the Aron should come to them. Understand? And there were two minyanim, or two religious centers. But both of them were rather neglected. What David's doing, David wants to bring everything now to Yerushalayim, and now that he's king, the Aron, which was neglected during the reign of Shaul, and the Mishkan was neglected, now David wants to bring everything to Yerushalayim, to his capital city. So he's saying, if this process of me becoming king is good, let's bring the Aron to us, we didn't care about in the time of Shaul. Make sense? Do they bring it to Yerushalayim? They make it, don't they? There's some trouble on the way. Remember the Peretzuzah story? You'll read it, that's Perikvav. But instead, what's going to happen now, they're going to bring their own, and it gets to Yerushalayim, and they have a whole big deal about it. In fact, if you remember something cute, in Perik Tet Zayin, most of Divrei Hayamim is the story of that return. If you look at Perik Tet Zayin in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, you see what happened when they brought their own? Oh, we can make it bigger again. Plus. When they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, see what they did? They brought Karbonot. He blessed God and blessed Gimel. Everyone gets a little party bag. See Pasuk Gimel? And then, look at Pasuk Dalet. Vayitei lifnei Aron Hashem bin Avavim Meshartim Mazkir Lodot Badaot Lashem Al Yisrael Asaf Arosh. See Pasuk Zayim? V'yem Ahul Natan Asdavid V'rosh Lodot Lashem V'yem Asaf Yachav. Anyone say Shir Shoyom today? Yeah. It's more than Asaf. We mentioned Mount Thursday also. Therefore, Asaf is the chief composer of Tehillim in the time of David. And when they bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, they have this flash mob dance. Everyone breaks out dancing. And what did they sing? Look familiar? Remember that? When did we say that? That's in Pesukei Zimra, isn't it? But we say Pesukei Zimra from Divrei Hayamim. Remember all this stuff? It's in your sitter, isn't it? All the way till here. Up until
here. Also in Kabbalah
Shabbos? Well, half of it from Shir Lashem Shir Kol Ha'aretz. It's from Pesach HaGimel's Kabbalah Shabbat.
Yeah.
The first part is Tehillim Kufay. It's a conglomerate of different sources, of different parakim and tehillim. But what they're doing, they're happy that they've been successful. Okay? So what do we see? David got everything the way he wanted. Now that the Aron is in Yerushalayim, what should be the next logical step? What should he do? Bring the Mishkan to Yerushalayim. So let's see what he wants to do. Look in Perek Tet Zayin. I'll put it up on the board here. Perek Yud Zayin, which is the next Perek. It's the same thing in Sefer Shmuel. Now this should be on your source sheet now, right? Let's look at Perek. I'm sorry, not that one. Perek Yud Zayin. See what happens? Vayikasher yashav David tov yomer David inyan yoshev bebeit harazim v'aron bit Hashem lo tachriot v'aron natan David kol kelimim. Give me a source sheet. You guys have a source sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there should be an extra one, huh? So I know what you guys have. Do you have? No, you have one?
Yeah, I have all extras.
Oh, you're hoarding. Okay. That's okay. Now the stage is set for David to build the Mikdash. So read who wants to read this one. Yes, don't look at it. Take reading. Yeah. What's that mean? What's David saying in a yeshivish way? It doesn't make sense that I'm living in a palace and God's in a tent. So what should you do? Should David move to a tent? What's he saying? Why doesn't it make sense? If David was in a tent, it makes sense that God's in a tent? Why is God's house in a tent ever since Parshat Truma? Why is God living in a portable structure in Chumash? Why are we building him a Mishkan and not something permanent?
He's traveling around.
Who's traveling around? And if Bnei Yisrael traveling around, then who travels with him? And therefore I need a portable house. But if the Jewish people have settled down now and have a kingdom and the borders are secure and we have a permanent government, now that the Jewish people are settled down, who else has to settle down? God's house. Therefore, the portable tabernacle was a necessity during unstable times. Now that we reach stability, it's time to have a permanent house. What Navi says makes sense. It makes so much sense that, what does Natan say right away? What's the Navi say? Do we read that or not? Yeah, what did Natan tell Navi? Whatever you want to do, do, because God's with you. Now, isn't Natan a Navi? He's a prophet. Did he ask God or not?
No.
Why not?
Because you can't.
For the same reason that you're a rabbi. If someone asked you a question, if someone took a bag of milk and poured it into the chicken soup and asked you, can I eat the chicken soup? Could you paskin that?
Yeah.
You're not a rabbi.
Yeah, but it's very clear.
It's so simple. Understand? There's certain things that are so obvious. To Natan, it's such a no-brainer that of course this is time to build the temple. And therefore he says, go for it. Now, who gets involved? Sometimes the question is so obvious that the Navi doesn't have to ask God. The Navi knows the answer right away. Now, what happened that night? Now continue. Pasuk Daled. Vayi
b'layla.
Shifti, do you think you can build a house for me? And he goes on and on about that I never asked any other leader beforehand for a house. Now, you tell me, why does Debbie think it's time to build a house and no one else beforehand asked for one?
Okay.
Because this is the first time we reach sort of stability. Okay. Now, listen to God's full answer, and we'll see if we find the answer of blood. Already? So, pick up from Yud Aleph. Got it? L'min
Hayom?
So what's God's answer? Can Debbie build a house or not? Debbie wants to build a house for God, and what did God tell him? I gave you rest from all your enemies around you, and I'm telling you that what am I going to do? What's crazy about God's answer in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Debbie wants to build a house for God, because he has a house. And God's answer is, I didn't ask you to build me a house, but I've been helping you, etc., etc. And God's telling you, I'm going to make a house for you. What's the problem with that?
He has one already.
So what does it mean that God's going to give David a house? So we call this Beit David, or Beis David. Here a house doesn't mean a physical house, it means a dynasty. And God's answer, if you read it carefully, read one more line to see the full answer. Okay? Ki malu yamecha.
Ki malu yamecha v'shachavta aradacha avutacha v'chimuti asaracha acharacha asher yitzei
v'chimuti v'chimuti v'chimuti. When you pass on, okay, and I'm going to have from your children, he'll take over for you. And his kingdom will be established. One more line. Who? Adolam. What's God's answer to David? Does he mention anything about blood on his hands? What's he tell him?
He says that he wants to create like a dynasty, and then through your dynasty, that will be.
God's answer is not no. God's answer is not yet. And why not yet? Before you can build a house for God, which now, because you've reached a certain level of stability, you need a higher level of stability. And even though David was king and established the kingdom, etc., God says, I need level A++. Not enough to have everyone, all the tribes together and a strong capital and everything. You have to be succeeded by a son, and his kingdom has to be secure. And when you have a son and he takes over, and I have a successful change of command from father to son, I've established a dynasty, then that's the level of stability I need to build a house for God. That's God's answer, agreed? And David, in his response, is super happy. He didn't expect so much.
Excuse me.
And now, what topic is not here? What doesn't God say here?
Blood on your hands.
He didn't say a word about blood on his hands. Not a word, not nothing. Yeah.
It does talk about how God had invited. It does talk about the enemies and stuff like that, so I can see why.
He alludes to the fact that, you know, it's, you've been successful against all the enemies around, but he didn't say the word that you can't build it because you have blood on your hands. He says that you, your son, will build it. But you'll see, David understands something for here, and he'll explain it later to his son. Now, according to Chumash, when is the right time to build a house for God? So that's source B. That's in Sefer Dvarim. And take a look. Yeah, want to read? Yeah, read just read a little louder.
Me?
Yeah, read, yeah. Babartem?
Babartem en hayardim v'shavtem ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokechem min manchil etchem. Meniach lachan mikol yibeitam misaviv v'shavtem.
When you cross the Jordan River and you conquer the land and you have rest from all your enemies around, then what happens? What did Sefer Dvarim say? You have a Mishkan, which is portable and temporary. When do you go to a permanent Mikdash? After what? After what's called Menucha v'Nachala. After you've reached a certain level of stability, and you understand the logic behind it, when our borders aren't stable, when our national history is not stable, God's house isn't stable. When we establish a permanent nation, and we have rest from our enemies around, and we've established a government, and things are stable, then it's time to build a house for God. So what does David figure? Unlike everyone beforehand, there was instability. Now, we have a time of stability. And what's God's answer? You're not stable enough. You need one more generation to become stable enough for a Mikdash. Okay? That's God's answer, and that's it fits very nicely into Dvarim. In the meantime, David happened, you know the story with David and Bathsheba, the whole thing?
Yeah.
The first kid dies, and he has a second kid. What does he call him? No. David calls him Shlomo. The David comes and calls him Yedidia. Now we have to figure out why. We'll see why very soon. But we have till 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. That's you have to go back to class at 4. Or you class ends at 4. Like till 5 to 4. Or till 4 to 4. Till 4.
No.
So of us have to.
What, Mama?
So of us have to laugh before.
Okay, but I can go till 4.
4.
Okay, 4 is good. So take a look when he's named. Yeah, by Nachem David. See, Batsheva Ishto, Batei Lebem, Krat Shmo Shlomo, Vasham Evo, Vashvach, Biad Natan Adi, Vakrat Shmo Yedidia, Bavur Hashem. So I want to understand now why David calls his son Shlomo and what that has to do with the Beit HaMikdash. So flip the page over, and we're going now to Divrei Yamim. In Divrei Yamim, there's what do you call it? Isn't it really crazy warm? Or just me?
Yeah.
It's like crazy warm. And there's no way to make it cooler? And glad. There's no other. What? There's nothing you can't turn that off or anything? It's like pulling hot.
And nothing else opens up there, right? What's this thing doing? Oh, that's the thing.
It's all like where the building is one
thing?
Yeah.
That doesn't open either, does it? Already, we'll survive. We will survive. This thing doesn't do anything? Yeah,
I'm going to read. You know where water bottles are?
Yeah, but I'm...
You have one?
There's a cup in the downstairs, like
cat. No, I have a water bottle. Is there a water fountain?
Yeah, it's a water fountain.
Yeah, so I'll fill up my... I have a water bottle in my back.
I'll fill it up.
No, I need to go ahead here. I want you to read source D. Understand? In fact, I'm going to put it up on the board.
I'm going to put it in Divrei Yamim. By the way, in Perek Yitzayin Divrei Yamim, it's the exact same story, like we had. In Perek of Aleph, it's a different ballgame. Perek of Aleph, sorry. Okay. You're going to put it on here, and that's not it. That's the Rebbe Bet. Sorry about that. You're going to call it Perek Chavet.
Slushy.
There's a story of David counting the people. I'll put it over here also. Okay, you can see the first part of the story on your computer screen, but you can read the rest on the page. I want you to read the story here and try to understand, is this a different story or the same story? Okay, I think this was my one. Yeah, this was mine. All ready?
The board
in the same, I mean,
is this the same story as Sefer Shmuel? Here we begin with Pasuk, Hey.
Here's the background of the first four types. It came when David decides to build, gets everything ready to build the Big Dash.
You can read from your source sheet, it's fine.
Should I pause
the
recorder?
What?
Should I pause the recorder?
The people listening also have to prepare. But you can pause it if you want.
It's the other way.
Okay, what did you guys find? We're going to go over in a minute, but is the story the same or different? Is this story the same or different?
Different.
Yeah, and here we find the blood story, right?
Yeah.
So let's understand what happened and why the difference is. David wanted to build a Beit HaMikdash, and God told him what? Not you, but your son. Like, if you look at this first type of Sukkim, does David build a Beit HaMikdash? What does David do?
He starts gathering the material.
He makes architectural plans. He gets all the building materials ready. He gets the plans ready. We'll see later on, he gets all the Levim and Kohanim ready. He organizes the entire infrastructure so that as soon as he dies, and David and Shlomo takes over as king, what will Shlomo do? He'll build the Mikdash right away. So in essence, David's almost building the Mikdash. He's getting everything ready. Now, if he can't build the Mikdash because there's something wrong with him, that doesn't make sense. But if he can't build the Mikdash because he has to wait to have a successor, then it makes perfect sense. So David's acting on what God told him in Shmuel. In fact, in Divrei Yamim, Perek Yud Zayin, he had the exact same thing as Sefer Shmuel. Here the story is different because now David is talking to his son Shlomo. And he's explaining to him how he understood God. So let's see what David says. So let's read from Pasuk Hey. Anyone want to take over? If no one else volunteers, you have to... Yeah, read. From the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. David, yeah.
Vayomer David, Shlomo, Bani, Na'ar, Barach, Vabayit, Nod, Hashem, Le'gdil, Amal, L'shem, Udiver, L'kol, Ha'artzot, Achina, Nalo.
David here makes a very important point. What is the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash according to David? It's not a place to feed God. And not a place to talk to your friends. I mean, maybe that's also. The main thing, it's a place to make God's name glorified. Now, how do you glorify God's name? Through a house? First off, it's a nice, big impressive churches, shoals. They impress people. Because they show that there's something important there. But he's saying the purpose of the Mikdash is to glorify God. I'll continue. Got it? What he's saying all the time? God, his goal was to make a good name for God. And he wanted to, because he has to explain to Shlomo, hey, if it's so important to you, why didn't you do it? So David has to explain to Shlomo why he should, even though his father couldn't. Continue.
Is that weird?
What?
Was it weird?
I think it was. If my father told me, why, Bill, do something, so why didn't you do it?
Well, I would not answer my father back like that. It's dangerous territory.
You don't understand how boys are. They want to be. But if you want, why didn't you do it if it's so important?
Okay.
Yeah. So David has to explain to Shlomo why he didn't. Okay, now continue. Okay. That's a classic line that you're familiar with. That's what you learn when you're a little kid, even though you never learned Divrei Yamim. That's what everyone says. Now, when you read that answer by itself, it sounds like something wrong with David himself. Oh, you killed people, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash. Like he did something wrong. But if you look at here, are those battles that David needed to fight or not? Yeah. So why is that bad? And why David didn't do anything wrong, why he can't build the Beit HaMikdash? The reason that God, that David is saying, has to be the same reason that God told him. And it has to do with stability. Read one more line and we'll see why. Now he's going to continue to explain what God told him. Hinein ben.
Hinein ben alad lach. Hu yiyet ish menucha. Vehinu choti lo mekol oivav misavir. Ki shlomo yiyet shmo. Vishalom vesheket itain al b'nei al Yisrael b'yama.
No. Now, is that a prediction or what I like to call direction? Is God saying, I see in a crystal ball you're going to have a son, his name will be Shlomo, and he'll build a house for God? Or is he telling David, if you want your son to build a house for God, what does he need to be? A man of peace. And therefore, to make sure he remembers that, call him
Shlomo.
Oh, that's why it's called Shlomo. Never realized that. Shlomo.
Who calls him Yedidia? Who calls him Yedidia?
The Navi, Nathan.
Why?
We'll see in a minute. Now, you were talking about how fathers talk to their children and how children talk to their sons. David HaMelech knows his stuff. And he's worried stiff about his son Shlomo, because Shlomo was a teenager. And you know what he's worried about? The biggest fear of every father? That the kid will be like his father. In fact, on the bad ways. And David was... What made David famous? What made David famous?
Like warriors.
He was a general. Right? There's no greater fame for men than, you know, being war heroes and generals and things like that. It gets you the presidency, you know, or prime minister. Most great presidents and prime ministers were big military men. That's the way men are. And David was sure, was afraid, that Shlomo, when he becomes king, what would he want to do? Outdo his father. And David captured all the way up to, let's say, you know, Syria, I'm going to capture Iraq and Iran. You follow? He was afraid that Shlomo would, once he becomes king, would be like his father and continue conquest and conquering and amassing great wealth and things like that. And David wants Shlomo to be what? Right? To be a man of peace. No more war, no more bloodshed. Now, why was David fighting wars if it's so bad? Because the wars that David fought were milchmot gdolot. Those were wars of survival. The Plishtim were our arch enemy. They were trying, it was our land or their land. We were fighting over the same land. There was an existential threat to the Jewish people in the first part of Sefer Shmuel. Remember how bad it was in the beginning? The Plishtim were taking over our country. The fight that Shaul began and David finished off, fighting the Plishtim, saved Israel's borders. And for the first time since Yeshua, right, we finally have secured all the borders of the land of Israel during the time of David. We never reached that before. From a military point of view, David achieved something no one before ever achieved. We never had security from our enemies around us, and we never had full borders until the time of David. More than that, all through the time of the Shoftim, from Yeshua through all Shoftim to the beginning of Shmuel, we never find any other nations who look up to us. Every other nation is an enemy. Israel has no friends during Sefer Shoftim, do they? Everyone's out to get us. All of a sudden, in the time of David, the king of Lebanon wants to make a treaty with us. At the end of his thing, the king of Egypt makes a treaty with us. They marry off. Shlomo marries his daughter. It's a sign of peace. David marries the daughter of the wife of the king of Kshur. When a king marries wives from other countries, that's a sign of political alliances. For the first time in Jewish history, Israel is a country that other people look up to. Now, remember I told you in the beginning, what's David's key point here? What's the purpose of this Mikdash? To make God's name known? There's a double purpose in the Mishkan. It has to do with also tefillah, like calling out in God's name. Sometimes we call it to God, sometimes we call it about God. One function of the Mikdash is a reminder for us, as God's people, that we're God's people. We have to follow the Torah. We have to connect to God. We need a reminder all the time that He's our God, we're His nation, and we have to serve Him and keep the Torah, and He'll protect us, etc. And we turn to Him in prayer when we need things. There's another value to bring the concept of God to mankind. That's a more universal value. But to do that, there's a prerequisite. And what is that? You can't talk about God on an international level if the other nations don't look up to you and don't respect you. In order to have influence on other nations, you have to be in a geopolitical situation where other nations look up to you. You have to have a strong economy, a strong army, a just society. You have to have wisdom, good universities, high tech, the whole thing. If you're a first-rate country, other people look up to you. And when people look up to you and respect you for what you are, and then you talk about God, then that can have an impact. But the nation that's backwards, you know, that's at war all the time, and having trouble and internal trouble and unjust and civil wars going on and things like that, a nation like that that's dysfunctional doesn't have the ability to sanctify God. In fact, it's better to keep the mouth shut, because you'll do more harm than good. And if the purpose of the... If I'm going to go from the Mishkan, which was something portable and temporary, we always need a Mishkan as a reminder. It's called like the Shul. I need a reminder we're God's people. Going public with that idea, it's only possible when we're established as a nation and we're secure. What was David thinking? David thought he reached that level of stability and security and popularity among the nations already in the end of his lifetime. I thought it was time to build a Mikdash. What did God say? Almost, but not enough. You need a little more time. You need another generation. You need another couple decade or two for things to settle down and to reestablish your greatness. Because what does Sefer Melachim talk about, if you remember, before that Shlomo builds the Mikdash? Shlomo's known for his wisdom, for his wealth, for his economy, for his army, for his strength and his trade, and his artisans and his building projects. Remember when Melchat Shva comes to visit? What shiur about? How great Shlomo is? This, you understand this shiur is about Zionism? Or modern day Zionism? In order to fulfill the goal of making God's name, of sanctifying God at an international level, you have to be in a position where people look up to you. And that is enabled by having a state. But that only is enabled if the state, not having a physical state, but having a state that other nations look up to. But if that state is a pariah in the eyes of the other nations, if everyone thinks you're unjust and corrupt, and you're cheating, and you're not helping mankind, you're just causing trouble, then you can't talk about God, because it'll make life look bad. Therefore, there's a value in being a nation that other nations look up to. What Shlomo is being told by his father, or what David's worried about, he's worried that his son is going to continue the battleground and keep fighting and expanding and things like that. David is telling him, my generation was one of war. Wars that had to be fought because it was the next central threat to our people. David's telling Shlomo, that was my generation. We passed that already. Your generation has to be a generation of peace. And to remind you of that, what's your name going to be? Shlomo. As a reminder, what you have, your life has to be. That's why he calls him Shlomo. It's clear that's why. And who told him to do that? God. That was God's answer to David. And it's the same thing as having a son taking over, because they overlay to stability. David thought he reached level 10. God tells him, no, you're at level 9.5. No one before me ever even reached level 8 or 9. David thought he was a 10, and God says, you're almost a 10. But you have to wait another generation. But it's not just waiting 10 years. It's making sure that the next generation continues the process of stability and peace. And therefore, to make sure Shlomo knows that, his name's going to be Shlomo. Now, is it enough to be a man of peace, or you also have to be from? You have to follow God's laws, because otherwise you can't represent God if you're not following God's laws. Having a good, strong economy and wisdom and mishalim and great wealth and things like that, people might respect you, but if you're not keeping God's laws, it won't be good either. So if David calls him Shlomo to make sure he remembers to be Nish Shalom, that time the prophet comes at the bris and says, we're going to give him a Yiddish name, or second name. What's the second name going to be? Yidya. Now you understand Sorsi? Hope it makes it. Why Yididya? What's Yididya mean? Besides just like that. What's Yididya mean? It's my son-in-law's name also. What? What? Yeah. But you know why we call that? Remember at Simchas Torah we have all the brachot to the Shvatim? It's also Olivin Yamin Amar. Anyone remember? Olivin Amar. Yidid Hashem Yishkon Levetach Halav Chafeh Lakoy Ovek Tefav Shachim. That's the bracha about the Beit HaMikdash being built in Nachala Bin Yamin. Yidid Hashem. Make sense now? And Yidid and David are very similar in name. See, what we have to be like the good side of David. So that's God's answer. That's David. What's David doing? David is taking God's answer, which he understood in depth, and applying it to his teenage son. He's not making up something new. He's taking what God told him, understanding it, and applying it to a teenage son who's worried stiff is going to be worse than his father, who's going to be a man of war. And he has to remind him, you have to be a man of peace. And if you're a man of peace, then you can build a house for God. I'm getting everything ready for you. But you have to understand why you were chosen. And now the story begins to make sense now. It's not a contradiction between them. It wasn't that we did something wrong. It's just certain things need time. And to be ready to build a mikdash, you have to bring up another generation. Yeah.
Then why is it that the most common thing we know is that the Bavli
Tam? Because our education system is a disaster. And that disaster, but it's superficial. I'll explain why. The whole thing I was telling you about nationhood and stuff like that, it's not on anyone's radar. Because people think religion is about me and God. It's not a person's, you didn't have era, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Because you didn't, what do you call it? You talked about the land of Israel, you can't go into the land of Israel. Everything's schar v'onesh kind of thing. You didn't have era, you get an onesh. It's not immature, it's a bad word. It's a primitive, it's a beginning step in religion. Like for a 5-year-old. What motivates you to keep laws? Reward and punishment. It's avodim, but at a higher level, you identify with the value. And you want to be Jewish because you understand the value of being Jewish. And the value of sanctifying God. And I'm not doing it because it's, I'll be rewarded. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. Because there's virtue in it. Now, there's nothing wrong if you get rewarded, but that's not your motivation. Is helping mankind. The motivation isn't getting reward. But that's hard. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're the commissioner of the police force. And you want to make sure there's law and order in the country. And I have to train policemen. Now, I can train them to make sure they do their job in two ways. If they do a good job giving out speeding tickets, every speeding ticket you get a $50 bonus. And if you give, I can work the whole system of motivating policemen to do their job with financial bonuses. And it works like a charm. And sometimes you people pay the price for that. Because they'll give a ticket to anybody as long as they gotta fill the quota up. No. Or you could explain to them, I'll show them old movies about how law enforcement can save lives and protect people and all this great virtuous stuff about policemen, and just motivate them all the time with how important it is to be and how proud you need to be to be a policeman. What's gonna work better?
Money.
That's how we treat religion also, don't we? Now, the goal is the same. The goal is for the good of society. The question is, how do you educate the worker? The two parts of Kriyat Shema. Do we serve God out of Ava or out of fear of Schar V'Onesh? The same thing in education, you'll see. The same thing in people relationships.
Was there a before that says that it was because of the blood that was on David's hand?
David says that.
Are you saying David says it to Shlomo?
We just read that. David tells Shlomo, doesn't he? David says, look, if he's a Ba'ilayt V'Hashem, the more dam l'rov shafachta b'chumok do'olat tasita. I'm going to show you something even better in a minute. I'll show you when God told him that. And I'll show you what David's really worried about. But you understand my answer? Now continue. Go back to, read again from Pasuk 10, okay? Read from Pasuk 10 again.
Who yivneh bayit lishmi, v'hu yiyah li leben, v'ani lo la'av. V'chonoti kisei malchuto al Yisrael
adim. I can do what I can do. I can help him achieve that goal. But he has to do what he needs to do. He has to be a leader, making sure the country goes in the direction of peace. There's a political movement in Israel who's saying, we have enough land, it's been conquered enough, be a nation, let's focus on having peace with what we have instead of more expansion. Other people say no. The amount of borders we have now, they're too small, we'll never survive, we have to make our borders bigger. You're familiar with the argument. Now, both sides can be Zionistic and religious and believe in God, etc., but it's a tactical call, what's best for the country. What David is telling Shlomo, what God told David, is that David's conquest was enough, and now it's time to go from a time of war to a time of peace. There's this book that's attributed to Shlomo Melech called Kohelet or something like that. You've heard of it? There's a song there. The whole Zman de Eitachat, something. I mean, eight something, and eight lezes, and eight emperor. Yeah. So one of the lines is eight milchama ve'eight shalom. Remember? Eight nizroa ve'eight nintoa. Eight laros, eight laved, eight lisno, eight lahob. Remember? You know that song, don't you? It's a beauty. Now if it's perfect, right? For everything in time, there's a time and purpose. So there's a time for war, there's a time for peace. War is not a value in itself. Sometimes it's necessary, it's a necessity. But the ultimate value is to have peaceful borders. War is not the ideal. War sometimes is necessary, but the ideal is to have a time of peace where people look up to you. Now, we're running out of time, so keep reading. Pasek Yud Aleph now, or Aleph. Atabani.
Atabani Iye Hashem Imach Ve'etzlachta Ubanita Bayit Lashem Okecha Kasher Ibe.
Paradaha. So you should be successful, have peace, and build a house. But what condition? Now we get Yedidah name. Ach.
Ach Yitin Lach Hashem Sechel Ubina Ve'etzvecha Al Yisrael Yishmor Et Torah Hashem Elokecha.
It's not enough to be a man of peace, you have to be a man of Torah. And keep God's laws and lead them. Then one more line. Hine.
No,
ba'odi means in my poor, in my meager, with my meager means. What did I do? Hachinoti. He gives all this up. Here's the amount of gold I get. I saved you all this gold and all this silver and all these building materials. And David commands all the leaders of Israel to help Shlomo's son to build it. Now it makes sense what happened? Now, in David's farewell speech, read now E. Anyone else want to take over? Yeah, want to read? Okay, read E. This is later on after David gets everything ready and he organizes the 24 Mishmot of Kohanim and Levim, gets the funding ready, and finally, at the end of his life, David makes one goodbye speech. This is his final speech before he dies. David gathers the nation and charges Shlomo in public. He's like this, Shlomo b'ni.
Shlomo b'ni. Ha'adha barbo, ha'elokim na'arverach. Ha'malchav zolach, ilo v'adam ha'birah, ilo ha'asharot.
And the birah is referring to Beit HaMikdash. If you remember the Purim story, Shushana birah is part of the birah is the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And the Jews are supposed to be in Yerushalayim there. And Mordechai is in, instead of being in Yerushalayim, he's in Shushan Abira. But the whole thing is built on here. I'm sorry. Continue. He says, I get everything ready, and he gives a whole list out for 7 psukim of all the building materials he did. Is that fine? By Simchuam.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy because everyone donated. Now, at the end of this celebration, David makes his big speech, and now he gives a benediction. And what does he say? Doesn't it look familiar? Yeah. You say that every day, or if you, I don't know if you say it every day, but.
Also, we're trying to quote it all the time because of the spirit.
There's tefillah, that's in the wording. But you realize where it's coming from, that tefillah? Now, Hodu Lashem Kiru Bishmo, we say in the beginning of Pesukei Zimra, is from Divrei Hayamim. So is this. But to reflect David. Now, who's David thanking? Which God? I'll tell you a little secret. The only time in all of Tanakh you have a bracha with Brochat Hashem followed by God's name, or the description of God is here. In tefillah, we have it everywhere. Remember, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and all that. The only time in Tanakh is here. Who? What God is he talking about here? The God of who?
Yisrael.
Yeah. What happened to Abraham and Yitzchak? Was there something that Yaakov did that relates to building the Beit HaMikdash? Jacob had a dream, didn't he? What did he dream about? Remember that latter dream? And when he woke up from his dream, what did he say? What's he want? Remember, he makes a promise to do what? Ve'evan azotas or something metzeva yabet elukim. He promises to build a house for God. Remember, he makes a neder. When I come back, I build a house for God.
That's the same spot.
He calls the place Beitel. He says, and this is Ein Zekim Beitelim Zeshar Shemaim. And in Beitel, he gets a name change from Yaakov to Israel. Did Yaakov ever fulfill that neder?
No.
You know why he couldn't? He wanted to. But he had a bunch of right-wing kids. What story am I talking about? When David comes back, on his way to Beit El, where does he stop first? In Shechem, right? What happened in Shechem? What does right-wing kids do? They massacred the whole city. Now, they thought they were doing the right thing because we're not going to let those Arabs, we're not going to let those whatever treat our daughter that way. We got to show them who's boss. You understand? We're going to show them. So it could be they were right, but when that's the way you're acting, you can't build a temple.
But Yaakov didn't do it.
It doesn't make them. Everyone hates you. The people massacre a town like that, they're going to build a house for God and bring a message of peace to mankind. It won't work. Now, it could be it was a question of survival. But there's a price you pay for being right-wing. Yeah. Now, sometimes, if you're not right-wing, you don't have a country. I mean, you understand the machloket going on in Israel? It's not good or bad, or right or wrong, it's right and left, right? It's both sides have a good point, but you have to be aware of the points you have. It's true that if we didn't have right-wingers, we wouldn't have a country, because people would walk over us. But it's also true if we weren't acting so diligently like that, maybe people would respect us a little bit more. When you have pictures of, you know, beating up, when you have violence of an army against a civilian population, that doesn't look good. If you have to, you have to, but you can't do it. It's definitely not something that's good to do. So that's what David is telling his... So when David is fulfilling his net, when David is building the Beit HaMikdash, saying he's fulfilling the neder of Yisrael Avinu, of Yaakov, to build a house for God, and in Beit El, Yaakov gets his name changed to Yisrael. And then after the story of Shechem and Dinah, then they sell Yosef, and then they go down to Egypt, and we never have a chance to build a Mikdash. When you come back in the time of Yeshua, they can't build it, because there's not stability yet. The time of the Shoftim, things get really worse, don't they? When's the first time we finally are in an international position of respect, and as a nation we're able to build a house for God and people look up to us? It's David and Shlomo. And therefore David sees himself as fulfilling what the goal, the dream of Yaakov. Got that? Now, I want to show you, how does David say that God told me I'm an Ishtami? God never told him that, did he? Understand my question? How does David say God told me I'm an Ishtami? So it could be he understood that. Remember, Ishtamim doesn't mean I was bad, but rather, I was a man of war, but maybe wars had to be fought. But there's one other story. I didn't bring the source sheet, but it's really awesome. It's in, if you have your top open up, Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetzayim. Shmuel Perek Tetzayim. You've heard of Merit of Shalom? David's running away from the city in Merit of Shalom. It's after the story of David and Bathsheba. David's running away. David's running away. And how come this is not working? Shmuel Bet Perek Tetzayin. There we go. Tetzayin. Oh, control plus. There we go. Everyone have it? David's running away from the city. And see Pasuk Hey? Let me make it a little bit bigger. Control plus. Now we gotta see, this is good stuff. David's running away from Bahurim, and see Pasuk Hey, and son Anish Bilal from Beit Sheol comes. You've heard of Shimi ben Gera?
Yeah.
David's running away from the city. Understand? Being kicked out of the city by his own son Avshalom. You've heard of Merav. Learning it soon. On the way out, he was going down Rehob Bar Ilan in Yerushalayim. You know that neighborhood? What are they doing in that neighborhood? Rehob Bar Ilan, outside Mea Sharon? What do they do when people go by they don't like? They throw stones, don't they? Say Shabbos, you know that stuff. So nothing's changed. Shimon ben Gera comes out. Pasuk Vav. Vayisakel b'avanim et David, v'kol adei melech David, v'cholam ha'givim yimino b'smavo. As David's leaving the city, they get pelted by stones. And cursed. Not Nazi. He says like this. He says, Vayisakel b'avanim, ken? Ha'givim yimino, ken. Pasuk Zayim. V'chol mar shimi v'kalolo, Tzei Isha Damim v'Isha B'liyal. What do they call him? They don't call him Nazi because they weren't around yet. What's he call him instead? You're an Ish Damim. Who called David an Ish Damim? Shimi ben Gera. And listen to what he says. You know in modern day Hebrew, Magi Elacha? You get what you deserve? Little kids say, Magi Elacha? So this is what it says. Listen to it. Heshiv alecha Hashem called by Beit Sheol, Asher malachta tachtav, v'itein Hashem et hamlucha b'yavshom b'necha v'itchabaratecha ki Ish Damim ata. That's harsh, isn't it? Ew, that's a, what do you call it? That's we're talking, that's a shul conversation. You follow? That's a, no, that's good stuff, isn't it? That's a great argument in shul. You rotten bum. You follow? Magia lacha David. You were, You were so rotten to Shaul, and you're getting back my Gelacha. But Midah can again Midah. Now, Debbie's got these right wing, you know, Yoav, and he's got a bunch of right wingers in his army. That's why he's so strong. So they don't like listening to this. I won't say what they're listening to. They're not going to take that from him. This is what they say. That's Yoav's brother. Elamelech. Lami Kalel Akelev Amit Azeh Tadoni. Got it? See Abishai saying? Why are you laying this dead dog? He's making fun of Shimi. He's calling him a dead dog. You see that? The rhetoric going back and forth? Nothing's changed. What's that? Abishai. And Brana Basir Tosho. Let me cut his head off. He's calling you, you piece of. I won't say that. You ish dummy, you follow? And he's calling him a dead dog. Kalel going back and forth. Okay? So what's Abishai want to do? Cut his head off. No respect for the king? Listen to that. Listen. Pasuk Yud. That means a little more balance. He can't take these right wingers. Says what? V'chi kalel ki Hashem amar lo kalel David. U'mi amar mado si tekem. David says, that's not Shimi talking. Who's talking to me? That's God talking to me through Shimi. Yeah, I want you to appreciate David HaMelech. And a true leader. What's he saying? Vimra David al-Mishai no kal vadal. Nevini asher yitzami mayim vakesh nam shiva atay ben haimini. Listen what he says now. Got it? Hanichu lo dekalel ki omar lo Hashem. David hears the voice of God in Shimi. Now, Shimi's not doing it the same Shemayim, believe me. Shimi's just good old hatred. No, that's good old rivalry. That's the Montagues and the Capulets. Between Beit Shaul and Beit David, they've been at war for years, right? But what's David do? David feels bad that he caused the civil war. David didn't want a civil war. Whose civil war? That was Yoav and Avner, remember? That's Abishai's brother, Yoav. They were at each other's necks the whole time over who's going to run the army. That was a terrible civil war between the tribes, wasn't it? In the time of David? David didn't want that civil war, but he was responsible for it because it was his men who were doing it. And what's David understand? He understands a deeper reason why he couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash. Because during his time period, what was happening? Not just war with other people, there was civil war. And if you're living in a time of Sinat Achim and a Felhet, you can't build a Beit HaMikdash. There has to be Avat Achim. David realizes we need another generation. But he wants to make sure that Shlomo doesn't do that to others. He wants to make sure that Shlomo is a man of peace, he'll be forgiving, and he'll try to organize the army and do things united. And give a shot to other people, and that's his message to David. But here, what do we see? That God might not have told David directly at the Ishtamim, but David understood through Shimi that God called him an Ishtamim. And that's the Gadlut of David. And that's what makes him a Shia. Understand? He's able to criticize himself and see the faults in his own behavior. Even though he meant well, sometimes you're in situations that you have to do things which aren't ideal, but you pay the price for them. And that's David. David's saying, we didn't want that civil war, but we fought a civil war. And because of that, my generation has to wait another, we have to wait another generation until we're ready to build a house for God. So things have to settle down, scars have to heal, and then it's time to build a house for God. So there's no longer a contradiction between the two stories. It's not a machlokah between David and Shlomo. It's that David, when David's talking to his son, he's giving a chinuchi speech. Okay? That's what Pesach's all about, right? How do you pass over a Masorah tradition from one generation to the next and adapt it to the next generation to the level they can understand and apply it, but do it in the framework of sanctifying God and remembering why you're chosen to be a nation. Remember, not remembering remembering why he took you out of Egypt, not just that he took you out of Egypt. But now you have what to do with the rest of Sefer Shmuel. Because we did basically half of Shmuel bet now today. Okay, thank you, Rabbi. Perfect timing. I think there might be two files here because we took a break in the middle. So we put on pause. Right, you started a new file?
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay, thanks.